For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everyone. Now we're in the second week of comfort after last week. And we're starting on the projectile towards Rosh Hashanah, really, which is around the corner, coming soon. But during the weeks before Tisha B'Av, we feel distant from Hashem, so to speak, really because of our sins and not living in Eretz Yisrael, in the place of the Shekhinah, and being connected. And now we're going through the process of coming back, of reconnecting with Hashem, so to speak. And there are some issues that people have. It's very interesting. The prophet kind of predicts what people are feeling. Some of the people feel that they've been abandoned by Hashem. Actually, after the Holocaust, that's the way people felt, you know. And so let's see how it begins here. But Tomar Tzion, and Tzion says, Azvani Hashem. He says, Hashem has left me. Vahashem shochacheni, and he forgot about me. So in our minds, we're saying, did Hashem forget about us? How could he let this happen? So it's really interesting because the prophets, sometimes they use visuals, sometimes they use question and answer, sometimes they use poetry. There's a use of words in Haftorahs to get a point across. And so this is a question and answer. In other words, he's saying, Zion, Eretz Yisrael itself, says, has Hashem forgotten me? Did Hashem abandon me? And here is the answer. Hatishkach isha ula merechem ben bitna. Does a woman forget her little baby, her child? Now, the description here, when a woman is nursing, she's not able to forget her child because her body tells her that she has a need to nurse and that she's thinking of the child and she's close with that child. And the Jewish people are Hashem's precious child, and he doesn't forget us. It's impossible. The person doesn't forget their child. Gam eletisha, do you think these are forgotten? Va'anochi, I, and it's interesting, this is the same word as the word Hashem used when he gave the Ten Commandments. I, lo eshkachech, I never forget the Jewish people. And that's the answer. Now, how do you not forget? We're forgetful people. Life, you forget. So what do? You tie a string on your finger. In the old days, that's what they do. Today, they have apps to help you not forget, that remind you, right? So this is what it says. Hashem has a string on his finger reminding us of him. Hein al kapayim kechosai. Don't worry, Hashem says, you're tied to my finger. It's kind of engraved on my... It's like if you write a note on your hand, you can't forget. Chamosai negdi tamid. And the fact that the walls of Yerushalayim are not rebuilt yet, that's in front of me always. Hashem has not forgotten our situation. There's a plan. We don't always get the plan, but there's a plan, and Hashem has us in front of him. There's a tradition that the certain prophets were given a vision of Hashem's throne, and at the bottom of the throne is like a footstool, and the footstool was made of the bricks of the Egyptian mortar. And when the Jews reached one of the low points where they were short on their quota for the amount of bricks during the day, the Egyptians threw in Jewish children in the mortar to make it reach the level of mortar that was needed. And Hashem took those bricks and he keeps them in front of his throne always. In other words, Hashem, we perceive Hashem as feeling our suffering and our pain. And there's a concept that we sometimes go through, that in life people go through a furnace, that they go through difficult times and they go through challenges. But it's not because Hashem doesn't see us or think about us. It's just the human condition requires people to go through certain things. That's really all you can say. But that Hashem has forgotten us is not so. That we're engraved on Hashem's hand and it's in front of him all the time. Now, what's holding back? Well, we've kind of created our own obstacles. You know, we run away from Hashem, and then we expect him to fix it. But mihiru v'necha, your children should hurry back. But maharsayach, machrivayach, and we have to get rid of the negative influences. The, you know, the people like the idea that Mashiach will just come. Magic, we'll have instant salvation. That's really a Christian idea, so to speak, meaning that the world will just have somebody that'll come save the day. Why? Why should somebody come save the day? If the day needed saving, why wasn't it saved years ago? The answer is we're put here to accomplish certain things. And if we want to bring the Mashiach, then mankind has to become what he needs to become. And when we do what we need to do, then the Mashiach will come. In other words, if we fix the problems, so then the Mashiach's around the corner. If we build that last block to the temple. Now, there is a concept that if we get so far off that there's no hope that we'll get there on our own, that Hashem might save us. There is that idea. But even then, we don't ask for that. We don't ask that, oh, we're so far gone, send the Mashiach right now, we're never going to make it back on earth. In other words, really, if we want a better life, we have to try to fix things. That means, we believe in the individual, and that means a person should fix things in his own life. In other words, if he knows that he could work on a relationship with someone, he wants to bring Mashiach, go apologize to that person, go talk nicely to that, force yourself, you know, be nice to that person. If a person knows that he's wronged somebody, give it back, do something to make it up to them, look over, that's what brings back the Mashiach. If a person knows that he has to focus on prayer, he has to pray a little better, so a person works on that. But that's, in other words, Mashiach isn't just saying, God, save me now. It's the idea that we want to be worthy. We've done everything we can. Now we turn to you. Or it looks things are so bad that there's no hope unless you come and get us, which could happen. We hope not. We really hope we're not. We want to see we're hoping that mankind, every generation has the opportunity to get it right, to get very... And there are moments. There are moments in life where it seems like things are coming together, and sometimes you feel those moments at Ne'ilah, you know, where everybody's praying, and you just have that good feeling that okay, you know, when they blow the shofar, you're just waiting for the, you know, Aliyah, just come down now. We're ready. We all said we're sorry. You know, we fasted. We've done everything we can. Now we're ready. You know, and that's why we blow the shofar. I have to tell you, I've blown it on occasion because I'm a shofar blower. That's a hard blowing because after fasting and there's like no wind. But the idea is that when you blow your shofar, that then God will blow his shofar. And that it'll, you know, then you'll hear the shofar of Mashiach and you know, when you blow that, you're hoping, you know, that maybe this is it, that maybe this, we've done what we can. And you know what? Many times you feel that way at that point. And we should not give up. We should not assume that just because we've come back already. We're the greatest comeback kid. You know, we came back in the times of Ezra, and now we're back there. We're three quarters of the way back right now to the land of Israel. That's amazing. And so the only thing I'm trying to point out is that the concept of Mashiach is that he will lead us back, but we have work to do to get there. We've got to fix some of the problems, though. But so he says that it's in front of Hashem, and we just got to get rid of those things that destroy us. Do we know what destroyed the temple? Causeless hatred, right? Or worshiping strange gods. So that's what he says. If we just get rid of that, then we're ready to come back. Verse 18. Now, it's interesting. We actually had that in the... I'll just show you. Go back to verse 26. In the previous prophecy, which is actually several chapters before, on 1197, if you go back to the top of the Haftorah for last week, on the last verse began. I mentioned those are the initials of Shema. Su'u moram einechem, lift up your eyes. And here we have it again. Lift up your eye. Like there seems to be an idea of like open your eyes. Like that there's the idea that we sometimes have to want to see. We have to like open our eyes like it's in front of us. Raise your eyes, open your eyes, lift up your eyes. It's all the same. Like there's sometimes we're just, it's like we're blind. We're not seeing it. And Hashem says, open your eyes. You know,
isn't it the mind though? Open your mind?
Yeah, whatever. I think so. I think that's a metaphor when you say open your eyes is be open-minded. Yeah, I think so. And look around. Everybody's coming together with the word of Hashem. When that happens, when we're ready to come together, we open our eyes. Kikulam ga'aditu, we'll wear our jewelry, nishkatu kakala, and we'll be dressed like a bride. What's interesting is that sometimes Hashem is the groom and sometimes Hashem is the bride. It goes like back and forth, or you know, like the in the relationship. Like we're mates with Hashem, but sometimes he's the bride and sometimes we're the bride. Like it's a different, like sometimes it's the Shabbos bride is coming and we're like the groom. But basically we're partners. And here it's saying that we, at Har Sinai, when we said we will do and we will hear, there's the idea that we got jewelry. We got like a crown. We each one, jewelry is when a person is a, wants to connect to Hashem and is in that situation where they've accepted upon themselves to do Hashem's will, they get like a crown. They're like crowned with a, because we are now, we're not just people now, we're servants of the Almighty. And that you wear special, you know, jewelry and special, so we're described as getting our jewelry back. Now what about all our ruined buildings and stuff? Kikar Vosayef, Visham Vosayef, the Eretz, so we got ruined buildings and ruined land and empty land. No problem. Ki ata titzri miyoshvei v'rochem. Right now the husband's not home and right now the land is empty, but, don't worry, things will change and they'll change very quickly. Verse 20. Od yomer, you will still say, ba'aznek, and your ears, b'nei shikulayich, the your children of bereavement. In other words, you've been lonely and empty, so, and Eretz Yisrael's been empty, but guess what? There'll be a time where there'll be crowds again. Sarli hamakam, the place will be tight. Save me a space. Geshuli vashuva. We'll say that about Israel. We have to say that some people are going there early, but we have to ask them to save us a seat, to save us a space in Israel. 21. What will happen then, when we come back, is that we'll have long lost children that we've missed and we have not seen. So there's a metaphor for this that in the, when we went down to Egypt, when we lived in Egypt, the family life was disrupted, and sometimes the women had to go out into the fields to have their children. They had no medical attention, or they were sent to work. And the Midrashim talk about like the angels took care of the children, but it means like sometimes children were born without the right medical condition. With who took care of them? How did they didn't have diapers, and they didn't have Huggies, and they didn't have Similac, and they didn't have. But it's like miraculous that these children were born to us, and they were brought back. There's also an idea that sometimes our children stray, and we lose they and all the fact we miss them. And there's the idea that the children that have strayed will come back. And we certainly see that we're living through what they call like the silent Holocaust, where so many Jews, so many children of the Almighty are just disappearing and they're going away. But in Messianic times, they're all going to come back. They're our long lost children, and we know that 10 tribes disappeared and they're lost children. So this is what Hashem says. Don't worry. All of a sudden, you'll see these children and you'll say, where'd they come from? Who gave birth to them? Anisha Kula, I've been a barren and abandoned, Gola Visura, and forgotten and exiled. And then all of a sudden, we'll come back with these big families. Who raised them? How did they get here? I was all by myself. Where have they been? So it almost describes like long lost children or family coming back. And again, there's a Midrashim in Egypt describing that they had children that were born that were like almost raised by the angels, so to speak, and that they found their parents. And it could be they were taken away, you know, in slavery they took away the children, and you know, when they brought them together they found their children, you know, the during times of tragedy, that's the Spanish Inquisition and other times, a lot of times children were separated from their families, and people mourned their whole lives their children. They didn't know what happened to them. So it's just interesting that metaphor is here for these bereaved children. 22. Ko amar Hashem lo ki mineas el goyim yadi. Now, the nations of the world who until now have been spoilers, have been in our way, they're going to help us. And they're going to carry the flag. What's really, really interesting, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are Christians that are paying for the bringing back of Jews to Israel. There are big groups of Christians that pay to resettle Russian Jews to Israel, and I forgot what they're called. There's big groups of them that help support. They for the, for whatever reason, they also believe the Jews have to come back. There are certain Christians, and they fund movements. Some people don't like it because they feel that they're doing it for their purposes. They want Jews to come back so they can...
Well, they are.
They are, but we don't care what they think. I mean, they're really tools in the hands of Hashem. They think we're going to come back and find Yashki or whatever, but it's a... We're coming back because Hashem wants us to... But it's the reason they're doing it is because the prophet says that the Gentiles were going to fund this. They're going to bring the Jewish children back. That's what it's...
Do they teach them Christianity? They're the ones they bring back.
They're not able to. They just basically provide for the planes and some of the money to resettle them. They would like to some extent, but really they just, they're very active in the former Soviet Union of helping to, what's the name of, they have one rabbi that's involved with them. It's a little controversial because, again, it's a funny relationship. In other words, they, for their beliefs, want us back, and we, for our beliefs, want to be back. So it's using their money to bring Jews back. They think it's going to help them. We don't believe it's going to help them. But meanwhile, if they want to do it, but there are very significant groups of them, and they're spending millions of dollars. The rabbi's name, I think, was Epstein. I don't remember.
Is he the one that's on television asking for funding, and he shows all?
Oh yeah, I think it's on the Christian.
Pathetic-looking people.
It has a funny flavor, but it is. Part of the prophecy that the Gentiles will fund our coming back, and that's what he says over here, that they're gonna carry our flag. And they're gonna bring back our kids, and they're gonna carry them in. They're gonna be giving first class. And on their shoulders, they're gonna come in, bringing the Jewish children back from the various nations. Now this is very interesting. It says that their leaders and their kings will be the babysitters. They normally, their leaders are arrogant towards us. They will feel privileged to help bring the Jews back. That's the description here. 23. Their kings will be like their nursemaidens. Now it's interesting. Today they have female leaders. They didn't used to have that. You know, you could have, you have Angela Merkel and you have other. You know, it's describing like they'll be your nursemaid. It had to be. It's saying the kings will nurse the children or be like babysitter. You know, today you could. There are at least women who could. You know, who could do it in theory. But it describes a time when they'll basically in messianic times they instead of being hostile to us they'll be flattered to help in any way that they can. And they'll bow down on the ground and they'll lick the dust of our feet. Vedati, when that happens, you'll know. Ki ani Hashem, actually Voshu. Now we've gone through a lot of embarrassment in life. The Gentiles embarrass us and they criticize us and they make fun of us. But when this will happen, we won't be any more embarrassed and any more ashamed. Verse 24. Now, what about all of the Jews who were forcibly imprisoned and taken away by their mighty people? How can we come back from the armies that have captured us? They're strong men, and they cry. But Hashem says, verse 25, even if the Jews that are held captive by these strong armies will be taken back. And Hashem said, I'm going to, you know, there are Jews that are held in foreign lands, and there are Jews that are held in prisons in other places, and they can't get out. And, you know, some of them, you know, the Jews that are held in these places are in terrible situations, especially Jews in the Arab countries that are. There are Jews in the prisons in Iran, and there are Jews in other places. And Hashem, how are we going to get them out? So Hashem says, I'm going to take up your cause, and I will save them. Those are a little harder. In other words, it's describing the Gentiles bringing Jewish children back, and even the captives, even the ones that held us captive, we're going to let them go. Now this is interesting. 26, what's going to happen to our enemies? V'achalta esmonech. As Pesorim, our enemies will devour themselves. They'll eat themselves up. They'll fight, you know, and that's the, they'll fight against each other. I mean, it's the greatest thing that the Hezbollah is fighting against the Syrians, you know, is fighting against the, what do you call them, the jihadis.
Hezbollah and Hamas don't agree with each other.
No, but they both
want to kill us.
In Syria, both sides hate us, and both sides If they didn't weren't busy killing each other, they would be making plots mm-hmm. to kill us. And so, you know, it's I feel bad for the civilians, little children. They have no, you know, it's not their fault. But these people, these killers and the people they have that are our worst enemies are killing each other. And we've never had it like that, where their focus, Hezbollah was like focused on killing Jews and Israelis and making trouble. And right now they're just fighting against the jihadis. It's the greatest thing. You know, it's a, you know, but that's what it says. They'll devour each other and they'll get drunk. And when everybody sees this, v'yodu kol basar, everybody will know, ki ani Hashem, Hashem is the one who saves us, v'gola al ber Yaakov, and Hashem is the one who redeems us. It's a really interesting metaphor, because again, we live in times where you could see it. If we just the right things happen, the right, we come together in the right way, we get the right mood, you know, there are historical things that are happening that haven't happened before. You know, it's the Jews that are back in Israel, and the communication. Today, you can get communication through the internet, you know, so quick. That it was like years ago, you remember the time of Achashverosh when they wanted to get a message. They had to send riders out, Pony Express. You know how long it took to tell somebody, you know, that, you know, to send a message? Today, you know, you send an email, it goes all over the world, you know, Mashiach's coming, it won't take long, and, you know, just instant, okay, chapter 3. Ko'amar Hashem. Now, some people feel, and this is the idea, that if we come back, it still won't be the same. If people get divorced, and they take another spouse, they can't come back. They can't take each other back. That's the rule. If somebody is married, if they just get divorced, they can go back to each other. But if they marry someone else in between, then they can never go back to their original. In a certain way, it's like if somebody gets divorced and then they marry a different spouse, and then they get divorced from that new spouse and want to go back to their original, they can't do that. So the Jews feel like, well, we worship strange gods and God kicked us out. So how do we know he's going to take us back? And so over here, the prophet declares, we never were divorced. We view it as a separation. In other words, Hashem was angry with us and we got kicked out of the relationship, or the Shekhinah left us. He said, you know, I no longer can stay here. But there's no divorce. It was not anything permanent. It was never, there was the Hashem's, we went through a time where we didn't merit to have that intense closeness with Hashem, but there's no divorce here. Ko'amar Hashem, Zes Sev Krisim, Ezes Sefer Kri, where is it? Where's the paper? Where was the divorce? It never existed. Where's, I sent you away? Umi Menoshe Hashem Echai, did I sell you? Basically what happened is, we ourselves, because of our sins, felt distanced. We sold ourselves. We sent ourselves away. And God didn't send us away. God always loves us and is waiting for us. But we on our own, because of our sins, we sent ourselves away. Our sins sent ourselves away. Verse 2. So why is it that I call and nobody's there? They say, by the way, this refers to a shul that doesn't have a minion, you know, like Shem calls and we're not there. Why is it that sometimes Hashem is ready to bring us back and we're not there to answer the call? So, do you think that Hashem can't save us? They're people that have given up. They view that it's too late, it can't happen. And Hashem is saying, why should a people give up? You think Hashem can't make things happen? He can't redeem us? Is Hashem not strong enough? He may be koyach lahatzil. Do you don't think Hashem can save us? If Hashem wants to, he can destroy the sea. Asim naros midbar, he can turn a river into a desert. Tivish dignasam, and he can dry out the riverbeds. V'tamos b'tzama. And things can will die of a thirst. Basically, Hashem is in charge of all the forces of nature. People get very impressed with countries. You know, people were impressed with the communists, and impressed with the Nazis, impressed with the Greeks and the Romans, and when they get impressed with these countries, they think that Hashem is like old fashioned, it doesn't compare, people are impressed with the new ways and new things, but they forget that Hashem is the real power. 3. Al bishamayim kederos, Hashem, he closed the heavens in black. V'sach asim kesusim, basically that Hashem is waiting for us to come back, and he's mourning. He's mourning that we're not there. Verse 4, Hashem Elokim Nasani Lashing Lemudim. Now, in order to come back, we'll have to learn. And so Hashem, here the prophet is saying that he needs to say the right words. I relate to when you're a pulpit rabbi, like you have to speak. And you kind of imagine that if your job is to say the right words to make a positive effect on everybody. And so you feel like if you only give the right speech, it's going to change everything. You know, if you just come up with the right, if Hashem will just tell you to say the right thing, that's it, then everything will be different. And you have to tell yourself that each time, even though you say, well, I spoke last week, I spoke the week before, you know, maybe not as many people fell asleep, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But the prophet asked Hashem to give him Lashon Limudim, give me the right way to teach, the words that will teach. And to help people that are thirsty. These people are hungry. The people want to hear, but you have to give them the right words that they want to hear it. And he wakes people up. You got to wake people up. And then you got to give people the ear so they can hear what you want to say. So he's saying that as a prophet, he feels this need to be able to give the message. He knows the redemption of what's needed, but you need the right words. 5. Hashem makim pasukli ozen. Hashem could open their ears. Vanochi lo marisi, and I won't rebel. And achor lo nasa, I won't change away. 6. Now, when he tried to rebuke people, it wasn't popular. When you tell people, well, what you're doing is wrong. You need to come back to Hashem. Forget about the idols. Forget about the other nations. Forget about you're getting into these petty quarrels. You're wrong. People don't like to hear that they're wrong. They don't like people telling them what to do, especially not powerful people. So prophets were very unpopular. Sometimes they were beaten. They were hit. You know, if you just imagine like somebody coming and telling people what to do, and that they. So going to Sati Lemuy, he says that I gave myself to realizing that people might punch me in the nose. You know, that when I give my message and they don't like it, they're gonna fight against me. But and I give my face to people that want to slap me in the face. And I didn't hide my face. I was willing to stand up for embarrassment, humiliation, and sometimes spit. In other words, people try to humiliate me. They try to shush me. My job is to tell it like it is. 7. Why is it? What gives me the strength to do that? Vashem Elokim Yazerli. He says, this is a great word, Hashem Yazerli, Hashem will help me. And, you know, and you hear that Israelis say that, Hashem Yazor, you know, Hashem will help. You know, Azer means to help. Yazer means Hashem will be my help. Hashem Yazor, don't worry, God will help, right? So because God will help, therefore I'm not embarrassed. You know, you have to tell yourself that. Sometimes people, when you have to do something I remember when I was a lot younger, like men, you know, sometimes you have to daven somewhere, you have to put tefillin on. And you know it looks funny, you know, to put on tefillin in front, even to wear a yarmulke outside, you know. And so you have to sometimes tell yourself that Hashem will help me, I'm not embarrassed. Like, I'll do the right thing. And, you know, they don't, you know, it might look funny to them, it is what it is, you know. It's I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'll came sante pane. It's an interesting thing. Again, I remember when I was very young, I found it hard to wear a yarmulke in public. It was just somehow I couldn't. Looking back, I'm saying, like, what was I afraid of? Like, you know, today I go everywhere. You know, there are people that still wear a cap or something. They feel funny, but you can get over it. Like, if you're in a Muslim country, I understand you don't want to wear a yarmulke. There's a real danger. But people have this feeling like, what do the Gentiles say? They'll look at me different. You know, you walk in the streets today, there are people with blue hair, there are people with red hair, there are people with mohawks, there's people with, they're more straight. I'm afraid of wearing a beanie on my head, you know, like it's, but that's the way, sometimes we think like, I can't go out like that. I can't, you know, I can't put a sukkah outside. What are the neighbors going to say? What's going to be? What are they going to think? What are they going to, you know? And people go on and on and on. And once they get over it, it's really nothing. No one's going to say anything. It's not going to hurt anything. You know, if anything, people will say they respect you for your faith. You know, so therefore he says, once I know I'm in the service of Hashem, I'm not going to be embarrassed. Ki lo evosh. Verse 8. Karov Batstiki, my champion is nearby. Mi Yor Viti, who's going to fight with me? Namda Yaktav, we'll get together. Mi Bal Mishpa, whoever anybody who has a complaint, let them approach. Hashem is with me. I got nothing to be. When you got Hashem on your side, there's nothing to worry about. No, nobody can challenge you. 9. Hey, Hashem Elokim Yazerli. Hashem will hurt me. Me, Hashem, who's going to cause me trouble? Hey, Kulun Kebeged Yuvu. And those people that come against me, they're all worn out, old garments. Usher, they're like a cloth that's eaten up, that's mothballed, like an old mothballed cloth. There are these forces that are negative. They're just worn out, you know, worn out cloth. They're eaten away, old things. Verse 10. Mi bechem yirei Hashem. Who amongst you is fears God? And that's in the Parsha, by the way, about fearing Hashem. That, the problem is, in English, we always think of fear meaning afraid. And it doesn't mean that we're afraid of God. It means to be in awe of Hashem. We're supposed to respect the concept of Hashem. Who amongst you is in awe of Hashem, is aware that there's a force that behind it who loves us and who's in charge, created a world, and we have a creator who gives us a mission. Mi bechem yirei Hashem shemeya b'kol avdo. And Hashem listens to the voice of his servant, Hashaola Hashechim. And we can go in the dark, vein nogalo, we don't have to be worried. Lo yiftek. We trust in Hashem, but Yashin Beilokov, and we lean on him. We can lean on God. He's our God. He's our personal support. Henkuchem Kotke Eish Mazre. And what about the other people? What about all those people that are against Hashem, these other morals, these other rules? They're a bunch of flames. They're a bunch of like firebrands. Mazre Zikos. I don't know exactly what these firebrands are. Fireworks. Other people, much of fire, they make a lot of noise, I guess. Or are they like a flash in the, you know, like a flash in the sky? And those other things will go out in sorrow. They'll just, they're depressing. Okay. And then we get to the last section here, 51. Shimu Eli. Now he calls out. Listen to me. Rod Feit Tzedek. Those that seek out righteousness. This is a concept that not only do we try to help people if they ask us, sometimes we look for ways to help people. You have to, you want to be Rod Feit Tzedek. You want to chase after, a lot of synagogues used to have this in their name, like Rod Feit this, and Rod, it means like... Rod of Sholem. Rod means to chase after it. Like, if you really love peace, you can't wait for somebody. You have to try to go and make peace. You have to. But here also, it's that word Rod of, like people that chase after righteousness. And these are people. And the next word also means it. Mevakesh Hashem. They seek out Hashem. You gotta take action. You can't just sit there and wait for things to happen. You have to seek out Hashem and you have to chase after righteousness. Habitu al tzur. We should look where we come from. Look at the rock. This is an interesting expression. Today we don't see it so much. They used to chisel rocks out of a quarry. Maybe they still do. They used to be, if you had a big rock, you could go and see where the rock fit in. I think they're in Stone Mountain. They have the place where they took, was it the Lincoln Memorial or whatever, where they carved it out of the stone and they shipped it up north, or the because you can see where the rock was, quarry was cut out. So we Jewish people, why is it that you find Jews have this soft streak in them, that they like to give and that they like to be in good causes? It's because of where they came from. It's because they're a piece of the rock. Look at the rock where we came from. This refers to our father Avraham and Sarah. We're descendants of the Jewish people. We come from a good a stock, so we're carved out of a rock that seeks to help people and do good. And that's look at our rock. Well, Makeb is born in the Kartum. Look at the pit we were dug from. Look what were we made out of? What's the material of the Jewish people? So sometimes we have to look at where we came from. Verse 2, Habitu el Avraham Avichem. Look at our to your father Avraham, vel Sarah, and your mother Sarah. It's interesting how it says your father Avraham and to Sarah who bore you, who carried you. Doesn't say your mother, even though sometimes you think a mother has it easy. A mother, she schleps the child along, you know, and she raises that child and she gives her look at your parent. Look who our forefathers were. Ki echad karasi, and they called out to Hashem, who was one. Vavrecheu, and Hashem blessed them, Varbeyu, and he multiplied them. And then we have the final line of the Haftorah. Again, the Haftorahs always finish on a high note. With the, we started off going all the way back to the beginning of today, where Zion is feeling rejected and mourning and saying, you know, Hashem rejected me and he's forgotten me and I'm empty and where are my children? And Hashem says that Hashem is like a mother who could never forget her child. And of course, we're going to come back and we're going to be there. And when all of this happens, verse 3, Kinichem Hashem Esion. So Zion will be comforted, even though she had lost her children and they'd gone away and we've gone through difficult times. Don't worry. There'll be a the comfort is that this was a temporary thing that we'll come back. Nichem kol chavnasa, and not only Zion, which usually represents like the Temple Mount, but all of the destroyed cities, all of the things that were destroyed. What's also interesting here is it describes Israel as being like a wasteland, and it'll turn from a wasteland back into a garden. And again, that started happening in our time. You know, you could, if people who were there remember lots of places that were wastelands, and now they've been reclaimed, and they've planted the trees, and things are growing. And so Hashem says, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to take this wasteland, the Yosem Midbara, and I'm going to take a place which is like a desert, Ke'eden, and it's going to be like the Garden of Eden. It's going to be so beautiful. There'll be everything there. V'abrasekigan Hashem. Now, not only will it grow, but it's important that there'll be happiness there. And that's the happiness comes from the connection of Hashem. Sasanu simcha yamatzibo. It's a great thing that Hebrew, maybe sometime we'll discuss why there are different words in Hebrew for happiness. Here he calls it joy and gladness, but there's a nuance to different, there's gila, rina, ditza, chedva, ava, af. There are like many different words to describe connectivity and joy and love and happiness and it's interesting that Hebrew has so many words for the positive things. But he says Israel and Zion especially, they will be not only rebuilt, but it'll be rebuilt with this joy, and they'll be found there, and there'll be thanksgiving. People will be very thankful, the Kol Zimra, and there'll be lots of music, and there will be rejoicing in the rebuilding of the house of Hashem, hopefully soon.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.